Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. That's right, the place on the dial, wherever you're listening, that you get to ask your legal questions. I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, the one and only David M. Rappaport.
Hey, hey. Good morning.
Hello, David.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks. Right. You know, yesterday was the annual Bread of Life luncheon.
Oh, it was yesterday.
Yeah, wow. What a great charitable event. It was wonderful. You know, the event grows every year. Last year, yesterday, we had 420 women, men and women.
Holy moly.
Charity event that was spectacular. They raised a ton of money for victims of cancer and other diseases.
Where was it?
They hold it at the, I don't remember the name of the place, the old Woodbine on 73
in
New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually crossed the bridge and went over to the other state.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Well, you know, that's a good segue for a good celebration in New Jersey.
Really? For something else?
For something else.
What is it?
For the same-sex marriage proposal. We were talking about this before we went on the air. We were going to give Governor Christie some kudos for not going further with this. However, when I read the story, I realized we can't give him that many kudos. What happened was,
well, first tell people what happened.
I mean, the state through him applied for a stay in a judge's ruling that same-sex marriages are legal in New Jersey, and the Supreme Court of New Jersey refused to grant the stay, meaning that the law is in effect.
Meaning that one judge's decision now has a binding effect on everybody in the state.
Right. Now, however, it's on appeal. So there is an appeal, and that hasn't been withdrawn, but there's no stay, which means people are now going, you know, they're rushing, you know, because they don't know what's going
to
happen.
To the marriage
to altar. Community centers, to whatever, to get, you know, licenses, applying for licenses and get married. So as of now, it is legal. Humanity is reaffirmed in New Jersey. People can do what they want.
It's amazing. You know, there's really a tidal wave of states that are coming around same-sex marriage. Well, New Jersey, no doubt, will be the next. Nobody expects the New Jersey Supreme Court to overturn that once it finally makes its way to their doorsteps. Right now, they have declined to issue a temporary stay.
Here's the great quote from the trial court. Issuing it, the judge said, "The state has advanced a number of arguments, but none of them overcome this reality. Same-sex couples who cannot marry are not treated equally under the law." And that's really what it's about. We all want to have equal treatment under the law.
Folks, if you're listening to David and I, and you have a comment to make about same-sex marriage or anything else we talk about today, you can reach us in the studio at 215-227-2727. That's the same number you use to call my Philly lawyer all week long. Well, you use it here in the studio as well. 215-227-2727. Before we move on, David, we got a hot-button topic for today. We're going to get back to it shortly, but it's transvaginal mesh. And so many women are experiencing horrific complications from what should have been, or what was promised to them to be a procedure that brought them some relief from symptoms. And we're going to have Michelle Tiger in the studio from Klein and Spector, and we have a guest calling in from, I believe it's Los Angeles. Got to be 4 a.m. in the morning there, Aaron Lee Horton.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's early.
It is really early. She's got some dedication. So we're going to come back to transvaginal mesh in a minute, but we have some other topics we wanted to hit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You want me to go? Well, we got to mention Shane Victorino, who hit a grand slam.
Who's Shane Victorino? Oh, right. That's the guy who used to play for the Phillies.
Yeah, who hit a grand slam to get the Red Sox into the World Series.
I'm going to call Steve Ratner up in Boston.
Yes, yes.
I want a little payback for Shane's services.
Shane was the man.
Yeah,
is the man.
Maybe Steve can give us a free month of service or something. Steve Ratner is our branding expert in Boston, Massachusetts. He owns Ivy Creative, And he's a little genius, but...
Oh, now you can get some money back from Steve, right?
Yeah.
He has to pay for that little plug you gave him.
There you go.
You hear that, Steve? We're probably listening.
Yeah. We have a resolution of sorts to the Luzerne County scandal.
Yes.
Folks, remember the Luzerne County scandal? The judges up there were getting kickbacks in exchange for putting children into lockup facilities.
I mean, at least in Philly, we had like the traffic court thing, and that was just money and, you know.
Was just Philly.
And tickets.
Yeah.
But this was children. This was putting kids in jail.
This is like a Oliver Twist-ish.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God.
I mean,
horrible.
This was...
High Piper.
Yeah. That's horrible. It was.
Yeah, horrible.
They were taking kids and who weren't, I mean, not all of them, but,
sure.
but some of them weren't doing anything that would warrant going to a lockup facility and spending time away from their family. And they were doing it so that they can get paid.
Yeah.
It was a profit for them. And so there's a $2.5 million settlement. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of money. I suspect that there were other settlements along the way with the evildoers. But this is the last of it, I'm going to assume, although nobody's called me to tell me that.
Right.
But, I mean, $2.5 million for
Who's
all...
Who's paying $2.5 million?
All these kids? No. This is actually the owners of the prisons.
Uh-huh.
The detention center owner.
Well, that does sound light.
It says the co-owner, and that the judges and the owner... aren't mentioned. So I'm therefore going to assume that those parties previously settled. But
okay.
In any event, $2.5 million is the settlement in northeastern Pennsylvania where children were locked up and inappropriately so. 215-227-2727. You want to key off on any of these topics or you got questions? You can reach David and I at that number. All right, let's talk to, we got a caller, let's hit him.
Okay.
Let's talk to Lewis from Philly, who's got a comment on same-sex marriage. Hey, Lou, what's up? How are you?
Hey, buddy, how y'all doing? Good
All
morning
right.
to y'all.
Good. Thank you, sir.
I just find that to be crazy, uninspiring, and I think it's cruel. To me, I'm going to say unusual punishment to the human race as far as men and women to be married to a man, to another man, and a woman to another woman. Where does it stop at? How
cruel
long are we going to keep this charade going? I mean, it's crazy. What kind of example are we setting for these kids today that's coming up? They see this, and they want to do it.
Yeah.
What happens to our human race later on in the future?
Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe we become a more loving and accepting human race for all kinds. But, you know, I definitely can appreciate your slippery slope argument.
Let me give the devil's advocate, not devil's advocate, the what seems to be the prevailing view in our country and humanity is that I would suspect, and I'm not making any judgments on this, but the only reason someone would have the belief that you have is probably based upon some religious belief. And that's okay, except we're talking about the law. And our country is founded on the concept that religion and law shall not meet. There's a separation of those two because we want to be equal in our laws and not apply the laws based upon one particular religion. So just based upon that concept, without going into anything else about wrong or right or morality of sex and things like that, I don't know how you can argue it. I really just don't know how you can do it.
Lewis, but we appreciate...
I would never go there.
And you know the right not to. That's
probably
the beauty of it.
The majority of America, the majority of the world, shares your opinion on that in that regard. They may not share your opinion that others shouldn't go there either, but they definitely share your opinion that they wouldn't be doing that because the majority is heterosexual. And so that makes sense. Lewis, thanks for calling Court Radio and for dropping your opinion on us.
All right.
Thank you.
David, you know what?
Yeah.
I have to give you kudos because, you know, I normally can handle these things. You handled that superbly.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't go off crazy? Is that what you meant?
You didn't give him a David?
No.
I was holding my breath there for a second.
We'll save that for the next story about the Tea Party. We always have to bash them a little
215-227-2727. You got legal questions? David and I have the answers. You said Tea Party?
Yeah,
I have
you
Tea Party.
You got to mention that.
Idaho Tea Party. Hey, why is it always the Midwest? Do we have any? Well, maybe there's probably Tea Party people here.
Why? But, do you want me to answer that, really? No, I mean, I could, but no, I won't.
No. Stand down, Rappaport. Stand down. Okay. Idaho Tea Party candidate. Greg Collett, we'll call him out by name. Yes, that's right. Greg has 10 kids. Is that right? Wow. He's kind of like a farm going out there or something. Idaho Tea Party candidate Greg Collett. He, you know, Tea Party guys, they don't like government intervention. They don't want government to spend a nickel on anything.
Absolutely not.
You know what? He's got 10 kids, count them, 10, that are currently on Medicaid.
Wow, what's Medicaid, Dean?
Yeah, well,
government benefit, perhaps,
government
that we all pay for?
Everybody's paying for it in Idaho anyway. The Collett family is taking medical benefits from Medicaid while he's a party in the Tea Party, while he's a member of the Tea Party, and bashing the government.
So, this story actually says that even though people have brought this to his attention and questioned his, you know, staunch views against government and being a part of the Tea Party, and he has 10 kids on Medicaid, he's going to pay the fine that's going to be imposed for not getting involved in Obamacare instead of getting insurance for his family. He's going to pay the fine because he doesn't believe in Obamacare, yet we're paying for all of his kids.
Yeah. Well, not some of our friends, but it's a typical politician bent. Didn't we have, what was his name, Santorum, who was fighting us on caps on damages when his wife went and made a claim, medical malpractice claim, and scooped up some cash for the family?
And they actually fought that it was in Virginia.
Yeah.
And they had a cap on damages in Virginia, and they fought the cap.
Yeah,
his wife's case. They fought it. They didn't think it was fair, and then he wants to impose it on everyone else in Pennsylvania.
Well, if you look closely, most of these guys all have two mouths. See, they talk on both sides of their face. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, that's enough political bashing because you know we have the good senator Vince Hughes coming right after us for Philly Speaks.
There are good politicians.
He's
too.
One of the good guys. Yes, he is. I don't want to cut. He'll be coming in here with his boxing gloves on.
I know. We'll never. Yeah, and he's, you know, he's a true politician. No, we'll never be able to get him to say anything really, really bad about, you know, anyone. But he'll bash a Tea Partier, I think.
Of course he will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're moving on. David and I have some really good information to impart today as opposed to the nonsense we've just talked about.
Yeah, right.
We have some really good information and important information, to be truthful. We have a guest who is on the line from California. We have Aaron Lee Horton. Hello, Aaron. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's unbelievable that you woke up so early or just never went to sleep out there. You're on the West Coast?
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you how important this topic is. We started the show off by explaining to guests that we're talking about transvaginal mesh and what it is and what harm it's been causing. We're joined in the studio by Michelle Tiger, an attorney at Klein & Spector, our partner in the transvaginal mesh litigation. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
She's been here before.
Yeah, she's a veteran of court radio. So why don't let's see, Aaron, since you're calling and you're up earlier than all of us, why don't you start by just telling us what is this product and how has it affected your life?
Well, great question. This product it goes by many names, most often transvaginal mesh, and I want to say that I appreciate that you seemed pretty comfortable with saying that word because I think often the subject matter keeps people from really talking about it. So I'll probably say some words that, you know, you may be uncomfortable hearing over the radio, but we all learned them in the sixth grade and we've got to get comfortable with them. So I want to thank you for that. Transvaginal mesh is also often called polypropylene mesh, just mesh, proline mesh. It's called that because it is made from plastic, polypropylene plastic, which is the same plastic that you might find in your Tupperware or your water bottle. And it came into my life in December of 2009 when my mother was received the implant in Dallas, Texas. And really, it's used for three different issues that are a function for most women of childbirth and age. Those conditions are pelvic organ prolapse, which, just for your viewers, it means that any or all of your organs can actually prolapse through your vaginal canal. It's not a comfortable situation. It happens to over 50% of women during their lifetime, just as a function of age, childbirth, and gravity. The other is stress urinary incontinence, and we all hear a lot about that because we kind of make the joke about, oops, you know, I sneezed or I laughed and, you know, I had a little urine leakage, and we kind of joke about that. But this kind of stress urinary continence that the polypropylene mesh is meant to fix is serious incontinence, where it's really, you know, making a woman not be able to live a normal lifestyle. And so my mother had the implant in 2009 hoping that it would fix her pelvic organ prolapse, and that's how it came into my life.
And was it a success for Mom? Did it solve her problems?
No, unfortunately, not only was it not a success, but it actually made things worse in a lot of different ways. My mom is a retired head of the class RN, and so she is very well-versed with medical terminology and was an ER nurse for more than 10 years. And so she is a very educated patient, and she says that the minute she woke up from the surgery, which was explained to her as a, you know, quick outpatient day surgery, that she knew something was wrong. And, you know, just to elaborate on that a little bit, she knew that there was something besides operative pain or post-operative pain that was creating a sensation that was unfamiliar, uncomfortable, painful, didn't seem like she should wake up with that feeling. And so she tried really, you know, pretty valiantly. My mother is not one to back down, and it was able to explain in medical terminology what she thought was going on, but the surgeon really just said, you know, I don't think it's the mesh. I think it's just, you know, post-operative pain, and give yourself time to heal. Well, after months and months of that, you know that that can't be the case. The normal healing time that most surgeons will give you is 8 weeks. And, you know, into 3, 4, 5, 6 months, she was having increased pain, not decreased pain.
Let me ask you a question, Aaron. What can you give us like a top five symptoms or problems that women experience when they have this mesh installed?
Yeah, and, you know, with the caveat that everyone is so different, everyone's body is different. I don't know that there is a top five, but there are certainly many symptoms that are experienced often, and I can kind of give you a list of what those are, although ranking them probably would not be correct. And, you know, of course, I'm not a medical doctor, so I can just tell you what I have witnessed in the just hundreds of conversations I've had with women, and also with, you know, of course, with my mother and my own experience. But, you know, it can vary from just very uncomfortable physical pain where the mesh is in place to, you know, permanent incontinence, permanent loss of bowel function. That's often due to what is medically known as perforation. And perforation is when the mesh actually erodes into one of any number of a woman's organs. That could be the bladder, it could be the vagina, it could be the urethra, and that actually means, you know, this mesh is sort of sharp enough to pierce that soft tissue. And I know of many women who have told their original surgeon over and over again, hey, I know something's not right, I know something's not right, and the surgeon, you know, says, no, it's not the mesh, no, it's not the mesh, and then they have a pelvic exam, and wow, mesh is actually eroding through the vaginal wall, and in a normal pelvic, you know, screening, one you might get annually, this surgeon is actually able to feel the mesh, or perhaps your partner during intimacy is able to feel the mesh.
Aaron, hold on for 1 second. I want to get Michelle into the conversation. Michelle, how many cases do we have right now at Klein & Spector that are we're in litigation with?
We have over 1,000 cases that are filed. We're still investigating cases. But in the federal court, there's over 50,000 cases filed right now.
50,000 nationwide, and we have 1,000 here in Philadelphia that we're pursuing. And we're not just pursuing in Philadelphia. We have them in many states in the country. Is that correct?
That's correct.
How did this product get passed by the FDA?
Well, it's not passed by the FDA. It's not approved by the FDA. What this is this product was initially approved for implantation in the abdomen for repair of hernia mesh. And there was FDA approval for that. The companies then went back and sought what's called 510K approval, which means that they went to the FDA and said, we have this product. We'd like to use it for a substantially similar application. But instead of putting it in through the abdomen, we're going to put it in through the vagina to repair pelvic organ prolapse or stress urinary incontinence.
Is it essentially a similar application? I mean, abdominal hernia repair is a surgery. You know, it's a sterile environment. They open the abdomen up, done in an operating room. Is it similar, the application that they ultimately are using it for?
No, it's not. And you're absolutely right. In the abdomen, you're going in through a sterile field into an area where there's not a lot of movement. And then when they put it in vaginally, you're going into the vagina, which is a non-sterile field, into an area. Not only is the tissue different, the vaginal tissue is different, but there's also a tremendous amount of movement, walking, standing, sitting, sexual relations. Your bladder expands, contracts. Your bowel expands, contracts. And so what happens is as the tissue heals, the mesh actually deforms. So what is eroding through the vaginal wall or into other pelvic organs is this mesh that has changed in shape in some way. There's scar tissue that forms. There's all different kinds of problems that happen.
I'd like to actually add to that as well. Michelle, since you brought up the placement of the mesh transvaginally and noted, you know, quite accurately that it is considered a non-sterile surgical environment, what that really means to the average person is, you know, in the vagina there's natural bacteria, natural flora and fauna that is just fine if it stays in the vagina. But when you're using a surgical procedure where you're essentially dragging a plastic rake through a non-sterile environment and then inserting it permanently, this is considered a permanent medical device, into the abdomen, then you're actually dragging that bacteria into the abdomen in a place where it is not safe to be. And because of the body's response to foreign objects, the body will often encase the mesh, which also encases the infection. And so then you have a very serious chronic infection which cannot be addressed by antibiotics, including IV antibiotics.
Folks, if you have a question about transvaginal mesh or any legal question, you can reach David and I at 215-227-2727. That's the number for Court Radio. That's the number for My Philly Lawyer. Call us today at 215-227-2727. We're going to go to a quick station break, and we'll be back in 2 minutes to answer your questions and to continue a conversation about transvaginal mesh. Thanks.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our 3 convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured in an automobile accident, you know what matters. Being able to afford medical care, providing for your family while you're out of work, knowing your rights and getting just compensation. These things matter. That's why your attorney matters. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been injured in an auto or truck-related accident, My Philly Lawyer will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. It is Sunday, the 21st of October, and we are joined in the studio by Michelle Tiger from Klein and Second. 22nd? 20th. Oh, I'm so sorry. I pushed us off till tomorrow. Thank you, Kyle, the voice behind the controls. We're joined in the studio by Michelle Tiger from Klein & Spector, who's a partner in our litigation involving transvaginal mesh. You know, we're also joined on joined by Aaron Lee Horton from California, who's an advocate for the mesh medical devices and women who have had them installed. Michelle, you know, I get a lot of calls from My Philly Lawyer for people who have had hernia repairs and they have abdominal mesh, you know, and a lot of women aren't sure. They're like knocked out, so they don't know whether they've had it installed vaginally or abdominally. That's like a first line question for us. Why is that?
Well, I think there are some problems with abdominal mesh. There's some problems with abdominal hernia repair mesh, but that's a different scenario than what we're talking about here. We're talking about mesh that is implanted in through the vagina, either a sling that is there are small incisions made, and the sling is then thread through the vagina and tightened to hold up the bladder, or repair of prolapse with a piece of mesh that's actually sewn into the wall of the vagina to support the other organ, the bladder, the rectum, the uterus that's falling down into the vagina.
Right. So just so we're very clear here, the litigation that's involved, and it's not a class action, is it?
No.
What's the difference? What is this and what's the difference? Go for it.
Okay. These are individual cases that are filed. It's called a mass tort because there are cases that are consolidated for discovery and for other pretrial proceedings in federal court. It's called a multi-district litigation. It's in West Virginia with Judge Goodwin, or there are cases consolidated with Judge Higbee in New Jersey. There are cases consolidated in Boston, in Delaware, but they're grouped together so that the plaintiffs have more power together to work together to discover facts. But everyone has an individual case.
Okay, so it's not going to be one of those scenarios where we have a class action and everybody gets a small amount of money, and the lawyers make all the real dough.
No. Your case would be evaluated on your facts, on your injuries.
We've had a couple cases that have gone. What's happened with those cases? How have they turned out?
Well, the New Jersey verdict is on appeal. It was for the plaintiff. It was a significant amount, $11 million.
That's even here at Court Radio, we consider that significant. $11 million verdict for a woman who had the mesh installed and who had bad side effects. Speaking of side effects, Aaron, why don't you jump in? What's going on with mom right now? How is she, and how's this affecting her on a day-to-day basis?
Well, you know, I'd like to say that she's doing better, but that's just simply not the case. It will be 4 years in December of this year that she's had the mesh, and every day, every year has continued to be worse, and she has continued to decline. She was once a very vivacious, vibrant, active woman, and she has now been bedridden for 2 years, but really the 2 years before that, it was pretty much bedridden. If she could get out, it would be maybe for 2 hours, and then the pain just gets unbearable. So she's here with me in California. We're actually from Texas originally, and we're here in California to go to the UCLA School of Medicine to be evaluated by what some would say is the only doctor who's really, really capable of removing what is considered by the FDA a permanent implant. Some of the side effects can show up much later. So, you know, you have the physical pain, which I talked about earlier, which is just, you know, something sharp in your body and kind of pulling on your body, essentially cinching. The polypropylene mesh, and there has been a body of research on this for quite some time, since the early 90s, it is not inert when placed in the human body. And what that means is that it can do anything from, as Michelle mentioned earlier, change shape and shrink to degrade so that some pieces may come off and migrate to other parts of the body, which causes, you know, pain in other parts of the body. And then also, because it is not inert in the human body, it leaches. So it's, in effect, slowly poisoning the women. And not everybody has an adverse reaction to the mesh.
Let me ask
people do fine with it, but there are quite a number of people who do not, including my mom, and the risk is something that is medically considered to be way outside the norm for what should be the risk in any operative procedure.
Let me ask this question to Michelle or you or Aaron. I'm trying to be like a layperson with this, in that, why isn't it a simple thing to just remove it? In other words, you got a problem, just remove it. That's what many people are probably thinking. Oh, okay, it was implanted. We know it's a problem. Let's just remove it.
What? Yeah, can I take that one, Michelle?
Sure.
I like to make an analogy about this. It's the mesh, though it's made of synthetic polypropylene, was treated in a way so that it would adhere to the body's own tissues. And so I like to use the analogy, it's as if you took two of those really inexpensive Dixie paper plates with the ridges around them.
Okay.
And you super glued them together, and then you tried to get them apart 4 years later with each plate remaining intact.
Well, yeah, what you're saying is it's nearly impossible to remove this mesh. And
it is nearly impossible.
Folks, 215-227-2727. We're talking to Aaron Lee Horton from California and Michelle Tiger, an attorney in Philadelphia. We're talking about a product that has been pushed on to women in the you know, 09, 08, and for years before that. And it's a product that wasn't adequately tested for this application. And it isn't working. And women all over the country, where there's already 50,000 women who've brought lawsuits against the manufacturers.
Right, against two is what I was going to ask.
And that's the question.
Right.
Are we suing the doctors, Michelle?
No. We are suing. This is a product liability case, so we are suing the manufacturers of the mesh.
Who are the manufacturers?
There are a number of manufacturers. So the main ones are Johnson & Johnson, who's Ethicon, Bard, Boston Scientific, American Medical Systems, Cook. I'm missing someone.
Coloplast.
Well, Cook and Coloplast go together.
So the doctors are victims.
Those are the main manufacturers.
Doctors are victims too, pretty much. They didn't know. I mean, they're told.
Well, I hate to call them victims.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at. What's the knowledge that most doctors who implant this, what are they given?
Well, the issue is what the doctors knew at the time of implantation. That's the important thing. And unfortunately, the rate of degradation or the rate of erosion or the rate of problems was underreported. So the doctors, one of the issues in the case is whether or not these companies adequately warned of all the risks.
Well, this is why you were saying earlier, both of you, that a lot of the reaction of a doctor to a patient would be, oh, it's not the mesh that's giving you a problem. This is something else. So people don't know that that's what's giving them the problem or didn't know for a long period of time.
They don't
know.
That's
right. And it doesn't necessarily, there are many symptoms that don't necessarily show up in what you would think would be a reasonable amount of time because of the resin and the degradation. It takes sometimes years for some of these symptoms to reveal themselves.
And as we've said before, it's virtually impossible to have the mesh removed. I've heard of my clients having multiple procedures to begin to remove some of the mesh, but that's all it is. It's some, not all. Your experience the same, Aaron?
Correct. I like to call myself the mesh warrior, and you can find more information about my family's own story at themeshwarrior.com.
It's a new Marvel comic. Mesh Warrior.
The Mesh Warrior, right? I need a Superman suit or something. Superwoman suit. But it has become very difficult to remove, almost counterintuitively, because women have tried to have it removed. And what has happened is there have not been doctors who were trained to remove the mesh because it was considered to be a, you know, permanent implant.
Who's the doctor in UCLA that has such good success with treating women with this problem?
Well, his name is Dr. Shlomo Raz. You can find more about him on my blog, themeshwarrior.com. He has a really unique story and a really unique skill set. Though he was not trained by any particular manufacturer or to remove mesh per se, many years of his early career were spent removing shrapnel from soldiers in the Middle East. And so he is like the search and destroy king.
Yeah, that sounds like a similar issue. You know, when you have a shrapnel that explodes into fragments,
exactly.
And you've got to go in and find it. Did she pursue a claim for her damages, or is she pursuing a claim for her damages?
Yes, my mom is part of the multi-district litigation, which Michelle mentioned earlier.
Okay. You know, I really thank you, Aaron, for coming on and spending time with us. I'm happy to have you say once again how people can get in touch with, victims can get in touch with your organization in order to find out how to begin to perhaps get a handle on solving their problems.
Absolutely. Like I said, my blog is themeshwarrior.com. Very easy to remember. I also respond to all of my emails at themeshwarrior@gmail.com. No question is off limits. I've got resources there for women. One of the most important things I'd like to mention is that I have a page called Links and Resources, and it has Facebook groups, things that women who maybe have started to go through some of these problems can go click on and become a member of a support group, which helps tremendously with the emotional distress, not only the physical pain, but the emotional distress and understanding what's happening to them. So the Links and Resources page is really important. I also have both of the FDA warnings listed on my website. Under FDA health warnings, there was a health warning issued in October of 2008 and another one issued by the FDA itself in July 2011.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that because I wonder how that affects doctors when the FDA gives warnings. But I'm going to have Michelle comment on that. Aaron, we're going to run to break. I want to thank you for joining Court Radio today and for being such a valuable member of this community.
Thank you so much for having me on. And again, themeshwarrior.com. Email me at themeshwarrior@gmail.com. I'm happy to help connect anybody to the community. So thank you so much again for having me on. And nice to speak with you as well, Michelle.
Nice to meet you.
All right. Take care. Bye now. All right, bye-bye. Folks, we're going to break and we'll be back in 2 minutes. When we come back, you can reach us at 215-227-2727, 215-227-2727 gets you into the studio where we'll do our darndest to answer your legal questions.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If your child suffered a birth injury, you know what matters. Getting proper medical care, counseling and assistance, knowing your rights, and getting just compensation to provide for your child's future matters. That's why your attorney matters. My Philly Lawyer is ready to fight relentlessly for you and your child. Call 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Welcome back to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host for 1 hour of legal entertainment. We've got Michelle Tiger here and David Rappaport. We're talking about transvaginal mesh. It really is a horrific product that has destroyed the lives of many women that have were convinced to have it inserted, installed, implanted, and they have had nothing but problems since that day. Some of these cases, Michelle, have actually settled. There was a like almost 1,000 cases out of Texas where women didn't have much symptoms at the time. Yeah, you're familiar with that case, that settlement?
I know that there were some cases settled. I don't know that much about the symptoms, but I know that certain firms have settled certain portions of their cases.
You know, if we have some women listening to the show who have had it inserted and they didn't have any problems, it isn't necessarily the case that that will remain the way it is forever. Even very limited issues or problems as a result of the insertion of this mesh warrants a careful inspection and perhaps inclusion in the mass tort claim. And so if you or you know someone who has had it, all you need to do is give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727. You don't need to talk to us on the air today. You need to give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727, because the settlements I'm referring to, I believe, settled for somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 a claim, and they didn't have that much in the way of symptoms. These claims, these potential claims, are extremely valuable, and they may be it may be a scenario where symptoms are only down the road. We're running out of time. What's going on with the statute of limitations? And before you answer that, I'm remiss. We need to address the whole social media issue, and especially in regards to the statute of limitations. Is in getting involved in social media, Twittering or Facebooking or blogging about your problems with this mesh a good idea?
I advise my clients not to go on the internet because what your symptoms are, your very personal symptoms, and especially in regard to a lawsuit or a claim you might have, anything you put out there is out there always. Like I tell my kids, anything you put on Facebook is there forever. And so it's very important because you'll be questioned about that later when you have your deposition taken. You know, everything can be found out. So we counsel people to be very, very careful about what they put out in the public.
Yeah, this is stuff, especially during the pendency of the litigation, that you should remain private and confidential discussions with your attorney and not posted for the world to see. And so that's just but how does that impact on statute of limitations?
Well, there's an issue of when you knew that a defect in the mesh caused your problems. And that's going to be important because there were some FDA warnings. There was an FDA advisory committee meeting in September of 2011. There was a warning put out by the FDA in July of 2011 that problems with mesh were not rare. Before that time, they had said they were rare.
How does that – what does that begin a clock? Is that a countdown at that point?
We don't believe so, but possibly it could be used as an argument because that's when information was given out to the public, to doctors. But really, in a lot of states, there's what's called a discovery rule. So it matters when you knew that a defect in the product caused your injury.
And the you're referring to is the victim.
The victim.
When the victim knew that the product was causing her problems.
Well, yeah, right. And it's more than that, though, isn't it? Knew or you should have known. So
correct.
If it was out there and you just didn't happen to see it, you still could be bound by that.
Correct.
Yeah, that's why this is such a gray area.
Correct.
And so, that means that a couple things. One, time is of the essence. If you've had this product installed, you're not currently participating in the litigation, you need to do it now. And because time is ticking away, and your options will become more and more limited as time goes along. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Charlotte from West Philly. Hey, Charlotte, welcome to Court Radio.
Hello. I'm calling. I'm a psychotherapist, and I had a client, I can't remember their years ago. It was between 5 and 8 years ago, I think, that was telling me she was considering getting the surgery, and I did all I could to persuade her not to do it. But it seemed to me that there was a juggernaut going. that the doctors were pushing her, and I just thought she was overwhelmed with what they wanted to do to her.
First, let me thank you for using juggernaut. I didn't know we were going to hear that today, and I'm so happy. I love that word. Secondly, and more seriously, what's going on with this, Michelle? Did you see a lot of people being kind of pushed into this?
No, I think I've had two clients decide, but I remember the first one, and I kept saying, well, let's do the research. It was years ago, and I remember thinking, I think I heard something bad about this, but she didn't want to wear diapers, and I tried to say to her that diapers could be better than what she may experience. I don't know what she I don't know if she's okay today because she's not my client anymore. But I remember being very, very concerned that she was going to have that operation.
Yeah, and concern is an understatement. Thanks, Charlotte, for giving us a call and sharing your experience with this product.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Michelle?
I think a lot of women, that this was presented to a lot of women as a very easy same-day procedure. She was talking about stress urinary incontinence, where you have leakage of urine. What happened is a lot of women went in to have a relatively simple procedure. They'd cough, sneeze, and leak, and then come out with symptoms worse than what the procedure was intended to fix. That's the problem.
Is there something in place now that replaces this procedure? In other words, within light of all these problems, I would assume now doctors aren't using it. But I might be wrong.
You would be wrong.
Am I wrong? Okay.
You would be wrong.
Wow. See, logic doesn't apply in a lot of this stuff, right?
A lot. The sling is still being used for stress urinary incontinence. In fact, there's some better data on using the sling, but before this, they would do a surgical repair or use tissue instead of mesh. So there are alternatives.
There are alternatives, and those alternatives need to be explored carefully.
You need to ask your doctor, yeah.
I can't imagine. You know, one would question whether it now would become medical malpractice for a doctor to advise a patient to have a synthetic mesh installed transvaginally. I mean, it almost borders on malpractice at this point. Before, doctors could hide behind the fact that, you know, it was approved for the use and there was no information out there to indicate otherwise. But there certainly is a wealth of information now that this is bad and it's getting worse. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Tony on line one from Germantown. Hey, Tony, welcome to Core Radio.
Yes, good morning.
What's your question?
Enjoy your show. Very informative.
Thank you.
I had an accident case back in 2008.
Okay.
And it hasn't been settled yet. It was a very small case. And I gave it to an attorney. I had another one back in 2010. And that hasn't been settled yet. And then when I did talk to the attorney, he said, Tony, I'm sorry, I forgot about you.
It's always
this case.
It's always dangerous when an attorney says blase, blase, blase.
Sounds like it's in Montgomery County.
Blase, blase, a bunch of talk about nothing.
I know. I'm only kidding you, Tony.
Okay.
Is it a Philadelphia case?
Where was the accident?
In Philadelphia.
Wow.
Okay, so
that sounds odd.
Yeah, it's extremely odd. You can go on to the civil dockets in the court. Anybody can. You can go on to the civil dockets, and you can find your case if it's been filed. If it wasn't filed, then you know you may have a malpractice case for a blown statute of limitations. Really the truth of the matter is that most always cases in Philadelphia are resolved within about 2 years of the filing of the case. So if your case was in 08 and they filed it right up at the very end of the 2 year statute, it would have been filed in sometime in 2010. And I, as a experienced practitioner of the legal arts, would say that it should have been resolved by 2012. There are exceptions, you know, where cases are deferred for an indefinite period of time for some crazy reason or another. But the vast majority, 99% of cases in your scenario would have been over already. It leads me to believe that there's some special issue or problem with your case and you need answers. So you need to meet with the attorney who says he's representing you and ask to see the documents that he filed in the court, the time-stamped documents, and you get a little more proactive because there's a problem, I suspect, with your case. Tony, thanks for calling Court Radio. If we can help you, we can we could be reached at 215-227-2727 all week long. Be well, my friend. Take care.
All right.
Michelle, what else is there to say about this that we haven't yet said? What's, you know...
What I would just say is that women who have symptoms, who have had mesh implanted, who have symptoms... and have questions about whether they're injured, should contact someone. They possibly have a valid claim, and they should know that having pain or having recurrent leakage or inability to have sexual relations without pain are all very serious problems. Or continuing infections. Lots of women have just been on round after round of antibiotics. These are all serious things you do not have to live with, and it's possible you have a valid claim. You should contact someone.
And it can't be stated strongly enough that these are serious life altering consequences, and the settlements that have the verdicts that have come down have been serious verdicts, $2 million. $11 million. So you don't have, and even if it's a case where there's just been some minor impact in your life, there is a value to this. The manufacturers really are the ones who are paying the bill, and your doctor's not involved. It's not a medical malpractice claim. All you need to do is give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727. If you know of others who have been involved in this, let them know that time is running out. And it's getting down to the point where it's now or never. 215-227-2727. Michelle, thanks so much for coming on and talking about this. It's not a topic that people, they like to talk about, especially at 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings. But it's really important because, a short while from now, these women are going to go without a resolution at all. They're not going to be compensated for the horrific pain and problems that the manufacturers have wrought on them and their families.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I agree. It's serious.
Yeah. David.
Yes, sir.
You've been quiet for most of the show.
I'm reflecting. It just boggles my mind that that things like this go on for so long, and companies are still, think about it, without lawyers investigating and actually looking at these things, would anyone even have known that this was an issue? Probably not, because you don't really hear about it that much, and you wouldn't hear, the only thing you hear is what? Lawsuits and things going on. Without that, you wouldn't hear anything about this.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know about it. And the whole medical community, I don't want to disparage doctors and things like that, but everyone seems to be silent about it for reasons that we can, all kind of figure out if we're thinking about it for 2 seconds. It's all, money, and I'm sure the manufacturer was making a lot of money from this. And
a ton of money. And yeah. You know what? They were culprits in this. They were running doctors to Vegas to teach them how to use these products.
Of course. And not even really caring if they knew that there were adverse effects.
These are multi-billion dollar companies. These are companies that make millions and millions of dollars on these products, and they do it without a care in the world. Folks, if you've got a claim, you give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727. Thanks for joining Court Radio. Michelle, David, thanks for being here, and we'll see you next Sunday.